You recently went to Mobile World Congress.
Yes.
What excited you most about the show?
So it's always great to go to the show. The thing I like most about it is that I get to walk around, touch a lot of different manufacturers' devices, and do essentially comparison shopping in one spot. And you can also get a good sense for the vibe when you're out there and you're kind of see what is getting people excited and what have you. The one biggest, most substantial thing that hit me at this conference that is different than it has been in the past was just that, interestingly enough, the consumer was the focus. That's not how it's traditionally been. In the past, it's different people have their own agendas and they're driving. The goal is to drive whatever that agenda is. But the consumer is really kind of at the center of everything. For the operators, for the handset OEMs. And by the way, to give you some perspective on what I mean by this, before Apple released the iPhone, which was the first device to be offered on a carrier network that did not have the carrier's user interface, that was a massive departure from how many of the operators actually ran their business. The first time that we saw a departure from that was with the iPhone. And of course, what Android has done for many of the other operators is it's given them a way to do some minor customizations of that experience for themselves. But the point that I'm making is, in the past, these conferences would have been a variety of different devices, probably a lot of SKUs, and the handset guys would have basically had to work with the operators to build whatever interface they wanted into the device, and you would go to these conferences and it's about, you know, what the operator and the handset OEM are pushing at you. This time around, it's all about the consumer and what needs to be done for the consumer to deliver that optimal experience for the consumer, which I think is just fantastic. In addition to that, it's all about smartphones, which makes sense. It's been all about smartphones for a while.
Okay, so we've seen the iPhone, the Android devices. What about the Microsoft devices?
First of all, I think the Microsoft OS for mobile phones, I think it's a beautiful experience. And I think that the Nokia have done really a great job of building a beautiful piece of hardware in the Lumia line of devices that they've introduced. I have the Lumia 900, which I don't have with me here, unfortunately, but it's a beautiful device. And I think it's going to do very well. I have high hopes for Windows on mobile phones, and also specifically around the Nokia relationship, given the fact that, you know, for the most part, Nokia's smartphone strategy is tied in large part to their partnership with Windows. I say in large part because Nokia also announced a device that has, I think, a 32 or is it 41 megabit camera, which is on Symbian.
Now, we often get asked, and I'm sure you do too, Apple seems it can do no wrong, it's untouchable, it's so far ahead of the game, it was the first to the market. It has got the mind share, basically. People buy the brand, they have got it totally right. Now there's Android, and from what you're saying and what other people are saying, the Windows OS, the Windows Mobile OS is going to be very strong, and on the Nokia platform it's going to be a very compelling piece of hardware. Will Apple have viable rivals in going forward?
They will, but Apple has an incredible momentum at the moment, and that's not about to slow down anytime soon. You know, they are an incredibly innovative company. I've worked very closely with them over the years. I've done keynote events, and the one thing that they have is that sort of separates them from everyone else is they have full control of every aspect of what they do. They basically have their app store, they have their hardware, and they have their operating system, and they also have their own distribution. And they have a limited number of SKUs. So, you know, what Apple has to worry about, or what we have to worry about for the Apple platforms as developers, is the different devices that are out in the market and the different OSs that they have. That's a completely different challenge when you're in the Android world, where you have different flavors of Android and you have different devices. So it makes it that more complicated. You know, so there's a certain amount of consistency and polish that Apple can ensure that their products always have across the board, across all those things I mentioned, that are just a bit more challenging elsewhere. Not that it cannot be done, just a bit more challenging.
So as a producer of content, a developer for these devices, do you find it, the market is incredibly complicated for you, the fact that there is so much choice, so many variations, so many different SKUs on certain platforms like the Android, for instance?
It can be challenging. Up until probably about 18 months ago, in the Android world, you didn't even have the ability to choose what devices you wanted your product to work on. So now you have the ability to do that. So you can control it a bit more. You can say, I build this for these five devices that are most important to me, and I do all my testing and make sure that it works flawlessly on these devices. And, you know, as new devices come out, I can test them, certify them, and add them to the list of devices. So you have the ability to control it to a certain degree. But building apps, we're now in the app world, which is very interesting because, you know, I think as we talked about a little earlier, apps have been around forever. Apps do take a fair amount of continued work over time. When Apple releases a new version of their operating system, a lot of things are going to break. A number of things are going to break. We're going to have to go through and update our apps. We're now going to then have another version of the operating system that we need to test against. Maybe they'll have new hardware with new capabilities, and we want to build more advanced feature functionality to take care of that. But meanwhile, we have to bear in mind that you have all these other people out there who have this, and we have to deliver an optimal experience. So testing just takes that much longer.
It could become a nightmare experience in the sense that not everyone necessarily goes out and buys the latest device when the manufacturer releases a product. So you have legacy, older devices running older operating systems. So people want to run on the older hardware the latest app or the latest application. 50% of the time it'll work, 50% of the time it doesn't. If it doesn't, I stop using your app.
It's true.
Now that's going to be a very challenging situation for content producers and app developers.
We have built a library of devices that are running different versions of the operating system so that we can actually do our testing against it. Not only in one part of the world, but across different networks, so that we can ensure that from a user experience standpoint, that we are delivering the best experience across the different devices that our users carry. The beautiful thing, or we're rather fortunate ourselves, because the audience, our audience of users who are business executives, are generally earlier technology adopters. And we see people migrating to new hardware on a pretty consistent basis. So I'm hopeful that it won't be too much of a challenge, certainly for us. But for some, it will be. But I mean, these apps can be built, though, in a way that lets the new advanced, more intensive things that you want to do on the newer hardware, you can segregate. For instance, for us, we deal with this all the time. Apple releases Newsstand. One of the products we have is Bloomberg Businessweek magazine. If you're running iOS 5, you want to get your magazine in Newsstand. If you're not, by the way, which you could be running on the exact same hardware, right? You know, if you're not, you don't want to basically get it in Newsstand. How do we handle that? And by the way, Newsstand versus non-Newsstand is a completely different experience. In Newsstand, all the content is backed up to iCloud, and we basically have virtually no content on the device. On all the other devices that have that don't have newsstand, everything is resident on the device. Mm. Now we have to cater to both worlds and handle everything appropriately for the newsstand capability itself. And also depending on the hardware that you're running.
And you said mobile web is something we should not ignore. It is something quite important.
It's very important.
Why?
Because it's very easy to use. Well, I guess I should say it's very easy to discover. People are accustomed to coming to your brand. You know, we have an audience of 7.8 million unique monthly users, and we see 3 million of those coming to us from apps. You know, the rest are coming from mobile web, which makes sense when you think about it, because when you share anything on Twitter or any one of these places, when you pick it up on your mobile device and you tap on that, it will launch you into the mobile website. Also, when you run a search on your device and you tap on those search results, it will bring you to the mobile website. Or if you're just unfamiliar with what we have that might work on your device, you just type Bloomberg.com into the browser and you come to our mobile website. Well, you need to worry about the type of interface, whether it's a touch-based interface or not.
Yeah.
You need to worry about how people have actually implemented against the spec. So, you know, different flavors of CSS, OEMs could have chosen to enable certain things or not enable different things. You have different codecs on the devices, so you have to worry about, you know, whether you'd be able to play this type of video in this particular format or audio in this format. Can you store stuff online? How much offline storage could you actually use on that particular device? There's still different things that you need to take into consideration, but there is a minimum threshold that you have for an experience that you can deliver in a pretty consistent way. You know, I tell everyone the first thing you need to do when you're getting into the mobile business is make sure you have a great mobile web experience. And then, if you want to do something, special for a specific audience that you have that has critical mass on a particular device, then you can look at doing an app for that audience. But you shouldn't start with an app unless you absolutely need it for something very specific, very, very, very specific purposes.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Pleasure.